The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki Season 2 is...
marvelous.
Great.
And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
How are you now? How are you now? Let's face it, that was not a great game for the Montreal Canadiens. Not a great game. You may ask yourself, why is Matt talking so low all of a sudden? It's because I actually went to the game. I don't know why, but I went to the game. So all my kids and my girlfriend are, they're all sleeping. So I'm trying to be as quiet as possible so I can record this without bothering anybody. Hello and welcome to episode 25 of the Bottom 6 Minutes podcast presented by Habs Eyes on the Prize. I am Matt Drake, and that was terrible. It was terrible. The Colorado Avalanche played the night before against the Toronto Maple Leafs and got hammered. 8-3, I think, was the final score of that game. And if you were watching the game between the Habs and the Avalanche, you would have a very hard time convincing anyone who didn't already know that the Habs weren't the team that played the night before and got destroyed. I mean, they looked like the far more tired team. They looked terrible. I mean, I'm not going to do a recap. Number one, because I don't want to start yelling and wake everybody up in my house. Number two, look at the way the game went, right? The Avalanche opened up the scoring shorthanded, which was basically expected. Everybody in the building, including myself, I turned to my buddy after the first power play, and I was like, we're going to get scored on. They're going to score a shorthanded goal. That's how bad the Habs looked on the power play. It was so obvious. And sure enough, the Avalanche opened the scoring on a shorthanded goal. The Habs got it back. Ben Chiarot eventually did get one and even the score up at one, which oddly enough was on the power play. And I don't even want to give them credit for the fact that they scored a power play goal, but they did. But then the Avalanche took over. They took over. Kale McCarr scored. Andre Burakovsky scored. And Gabriel Landeskog got an empty netter, and that was it. It literally looked like if you didn't know what happened the night before, if you had no idea, if you just showed up to that rink and had no clue who played the night before, who didn't, who was missing, nothing, right? You know nothing about the injuries. You just showed up and you watched that game. If at the end of that game somebody came to you and said, hey, which of those two teams do you think played last night and lost 8-3, 9 out of 10 people would have said the Canadiens. 9 out of 10. I'm sure of it. Maybe even 10 out of 10. I mean, I guess it depends which 10 you pick. It was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. You know, what struck me the most about this game was honestly the complete apathy in the crowd. Like one of my best friends, his dad works for this company that has season tickets, and sometimes he gets them and they're really good seats. They're down in the Reds, in the far corner where the Habs are, where Jake Allen was two times, right? The first and third period, Jake Allen is down there. So really good seats, really good spot. It's the best building in hockey to go to when things are going well. But this was the most apathetic Bell Center I've ever been in. It was sad. People were not really that excited for that game. The most excited people, the most amped up people that you ran into anywhere were Avalanche fans. People wearing Sakic jerseys and stuff. A lot of these people, you know, some of them are former Nordiques fans. that maybe lend themselves to the Habs on occasion, but obviously Avalanche come into town and they put on their Nordiques jerseys and they have a fun time. Honestly, they were the most excited people for that particular game. They knew this was a winnable game for them, and they're struggling too. They were third last in their division going into this game. And the Habs offered zero resistance. You know, you'd think one night after getting shelled 8-3 that you might have a tough game against whoever. It doesn't matter who you play. But I guess it does. It matters who you play, because if you're playing the Montreal Canadiens, they have very little to offer. Very little. Someone threw a Habs jersey on the ice during that game. I don't know if it's going to make the TV rounds or not, but someone threw a jersey on the ice, and Nick Suzuki apparently said he thought that the jersey was one of his. I didn't actually see it. They obviously got it off the ice before I even got a chance to see where it came from. But I kid you not when I say I was talking to my buddy and legitimately considering throwing my own jersey on the ice just to try and, like, send a message, you know, just to try and be a part of some kind of message that, like, listen, firing Marc Bergevin was good. Hiring Jeff Gordon was good. Going in a new direction is good, but there's still significant problems, right? Just doing that is not enough. They need to do more. They need to do more. And I think everybody knows where I would go with that. I would go in the direction of coaching, but I don't want to make this episode about that, right? I've done it enough, and I'm probably going to do it again. I'm probably going to do it multiple times until they actually make a change on that front. But it was just, honestly, kind of a sad game to go to. Just sad. I mean, I do want to get the silver lining of the night out of the way. I think that's important. Like I said, I'm going to do it every single game, no matter how bad things get. And silver lining for this game, it's got to be Jake Allen, right? I can't think of anybody else that's deserving. Ben Chiarot did score on the power play, so, you know, boosting his trade value. But Jake Allen played great. He gave his team a chance. As listless as they came out in this game, he made sure that they had an opportunity to win it, right, until the end. He kept them in it. They got outshot 13-4 in the first period. Like, it could have been out of hand in that period, but he kept them in it, you know? They had an opportunity. Ben Chiarot scored a power play goal and tied things up. Like, they were in that game because of Jake Allen. And I honestly mentioned Ben Chiarot's trade value. I wonder, is the most valuable trade chip that the Habs have right now, is it Jake Allen? It might be Jake Allen. There's a few teams that are, like, you know, pushing for the playoffs. Like, I don't think you could necessarily trade him to, like, a legitimate contender, right? Most contenders already know who they want to run in net, and they're okay with it. But some of those teams that are pushing to get into the playoffs and maybe want to compete but don't necessarily have that edge, they might pay a legitimate premium to get a goaltender like Jake Allen. He does have one more year on his contract, which, you know, depending on the team that you trade him to, could be an issue. But just look at his body of work. Look at it. I mean, he's clearly capable of being a starting goaltender in the NHL. You look at just that game against the Avalanche. You know, 13 shots in the first period. I honestly, by my count, and this was just me, right? I'm not looking at natural stat trick for this one. I counted five what I would consider high-quality shots. So those would have a better chance of being or becoming a goal than most. And he stopped everything that came his way. He was great. Like, you lose 4-1, and normally you wouldn't be able to say your goalie's great. But with these Montreal Canadiens, man, you know, you could lose 5-1, and your goalie could still play a great game. I really wonder, is he the number one trade piece for the Montreal Canadiens right now? Jeff Gordon's coming in. They still haven't named a general manager, but I got to think they're going to be getting some offers for him. I don't know from who. I'm just spitballing a little bit here, but I think some of those teams that are pushing to get into the playoffs and try to improve their position and that need a bit of an edge to do anything in the playoffs, I think they'll pay a premium. And the Habs might cash in big time on Jake Allen with the way he's playing right now. I don't know. I do know, and I hate to go back to this, but I do know that building, the Bell Center, was not a sellout. No way. Not even close. So now we're getting to a point where, you know, as I had talked about in previous episodes when I was demanding, or not demanding, suggesting lightly that they fire Marc Bergevin, if it starts to affect Molson's bottom line, that's when he's going to act. And I wonder, you know, is it starting to affect his bottom line? They've been offering tickets at discounts. The tickets that I got were in the Reds. So those particular tickets, again, they weren't, we didn't have to pay for them. But people who do pay to be in those spots, they pay a premium no matter what. But the Habs are offering discounts right now on their seats. I don't know if the Reds are really included in that, but definitely some of the upper bowls are including significant discounts. And they never do that, right? Normally, you know, if you want to get a discount, you just got to get lucky that somebody doesn't need their tickets and they're willing to sell them for a little bit lower. They're offering discounts through their website and shit to try and entice people to come to the games because they're not getting full crowds. And maybe COVID has something to do with that, but realistically, you know, it's probably got more to do with the product on the ice than it does with a pandemic that's gradually going away, if it ever goes away. I don't know. All I can tell you is, you know, I go to the Bell Center with the same energy every time I go, right? I'm hyped up and I want to win. And normally the energy that you get back from that building, that you get from the other people that are in that building with you, is the same thing. I didn't get that at all. At all. It was apathetic, and the product on the ice was as apathetic as the crowd was, you know? This hopefully is going to turn around under Jeff Gordon. So we'll see. I'm going to end it there because I really don't have any, I don't have anything else positive to say. Jake Allen played great. Ben Chiarot scored. So, you know, two different guys who have significant trade value for the Montreal Canadiens. Their stock appears to be on the rise. So take from that what you will. Could be great news come trade deadline. I'm ending it there. We're running just over 12 minutes. So soirée pas mal typique pour les employés de soutien. Thank you to everybody for listening. I appreciate you very much. We are on Spotify, Google Play, Apple, Megaphone. I am on Twitter at DrakeMT. Drop me a follow. I would appreciate it very much. As always, we will be back with another episode. We're not quitting. Don't care how bad it gets. I'm going to keep this thing going. So thank you again. I appreciate you all. And as always, as appreciate.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.